Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Truth News Radio Australia, coming to you on the 17th of October, 2012. My name's Harold Fenton, and I'll be your host for the next 2 hours. I hope you enjoy the show. I have in the first hour as my guest Damon Crowe, regular guest on this show. And in the second hour, we have Chris Emery coming on to talk about his latest film projects and everything that's going on in his neck of the woods up in Oklahoma City in the US. So I do hope you enjoy the show. My first hour guest, Damon, knows a lot about a lot of things, and he runs a very successful telecommunications company. And we've actually been talking just before we started up here about some of the problems that we encounter dealing on a professional level with people who, according to their credentials and qualifications, you would expect to be pretty smart and pretty good at solving problems, especially when that is technically what they do for a living. And yet, ironically, it turns out that a lot of people who are highly qualified on paper are actually really hopeless at solving problems. And Damon, if you could just pick up where you left off. I mean, we were talking there about some of your engineering colleagues, and then we were talking about the medical profession. But pick it up wherever you feel is appropriate.
Well, yeah, this is just another observation of people in your daily life. I'm finding that this world is an illusionary world, and a lot of the people that are in it don't realise they're under some sort of magic spell. And as a result, they're not aware of their own psychosis. And a lot of them have such poor self-awareness of their own behaviour. They quite often project their own behaviour directly onto you, is an observation I've found. So I find people that are hopelessly immature projecting and telling you that you're immature back to them. Or that you're technically incompetent, you know, when in fact they're showing every sign that that's exactly what they are. And it's this kind of reverse mind game and projecting their behavior onto you that you find a lot of psychotic people indulge in. And the fact is there are a large percentage of people that are psychotic. If you actually did a diagnosis of the general psychological profile of the community as a collective, you would say it was psychotic and completely delusional because it believes in a completely illusionary financial system, a completely illusionary legal system, a completely illusionary education system. Everything they've been told about World War One and World War Two is an illusion. We've touched briefly on the illusions of going to the moon, but that would probably be a subject you'd go for literally days upon. And these people are under some sort of magic spell and not aware of their own psychotic delusions. And a lot of those delusions go are centered upon themselves, because this whole magic trick that's been portrayed on the people is allowed to happen because of the psychotic condition of the masses. And they let it go on. A lot of people blame the media, which I think is a cop-out. The only reason that that these people are allowed to get away with what they're getting away with is because of the collective and individual psychosis of the people. And you only need to engage with them on a daily basis to realise the percentage of people that fit that category.
Yeah, of course, it is a mass psychosis. I mean, you know, typically when people are psychotic in the classic, you know, mental illness type way, they have their own kind of fantasies and delusions that are quite specific to them. But what we have in modern society is more of a mass psychosis, in that there's a collective belief in, for example, the reality of the paper that they carry around in their wallets, believing that that actually really represents something. And of course, that is a type of delusion indeed, and yet that is what the country, what the economy, what the whole world runs on. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you have a look at these people. They have put in a spell For the last solar zodiac, the period of Pisces, of course, represented, with the Pisces symbols within the Vatican and so forth, for the last, 2,150 years or whatever the exact period of a zodiac cycle of Pisces is, as we're going into the age of Aquarius, and they have installed for the period, and you've got to give them standing ovation, an illusionary belief system. Multiples thereof, which the people have gladly accepted without question, and that has served them very well. An illusory financial system based on something so precarious, so mathematically fraudulent, that if you did have three quarters of static or negative growth, it would potentially throw it into a devastating tailspin. And in fact, in 2008, it came so precariously collapsed to global collapse that if the government at the time, I think it was Bush handing over to Obama, that if they weren't bailed out, the whole global financial crisis would unfold and the world become dysfunctional and inoperative. And what system would you have globally where 7 billion people's lives are at stake, where you don't have a backup? And what is so fragile, that is, if you slightly have anything more than three quarters of non-growth, the whole thing grows into a tailspin. And of course, what they did to fix this system was to inject more and more cancer into the dead patient, with the view that when it finally does die, there'll be absolutely no chance of resurrecting it off the gurney, because it will be so stone motherly dead from the toxic chemotherapy / debt that has received over the last 4 years, that this little patient will not be getting off the operating table when they decide to disconnect the life support system, which they will be doing at a time of their choosing, I suspect.
Right, wow, that was quite a rant there.
Now, I think so, but it is an illusion. I tell you, the other interesting thing is there was a great movie I just saw last night. Everybody's got to see it, Killing Me Softly. That basic premise is riddled in, interwoven at a deeper level into that movie, starring none other than our New World Order puppet Brad Pitt. And I tell you, the undercurrent to that is, for anybody, there's a good test to see whether you're actually awake. Go and see that movie and see if you can decode it. And if you can't decode it, then you haven't clearly worked out what's going on. And if you can decode it, because it's very, very obvious, it's nowhere near as decoded as a Stanley Kubrick movie, for argument's sake, but it is very, very accurate depiction of the state that we're in right now and what is about to transpire.
Yeah, look, I definitely will check that out. Thanks, Damon. I'd like to just return to what I was saying there at the beginning about the problem-solving capabilities of people. Now, you've referred to the mass delusion, the psychosis, and I think that that is a large factor in why people cannot solve problems, because solving problems is very important, and on a daily basis, we need to do it. And I mean, you work with engineers, numerous engineers in your business, and we were also talking before about doctors, but let's just talk about what happens with the medical profession and how I believe what they do is they simply use stored information. They regurgitate information that they've been given. And a lot of these people who are purported experts in any field will indeed have a lot of information. Of course, some of it may be faulty information, some of it may be good information, but they've just got all this information that they've acquired. And when you ask them a question or come to them with an issue, they will tend to regurgitate something that has been tagged as an answer to that question. And to me, the very interesting point here is that is not the problem-solving process at all. I mean, that is not the deductive process. That is not the inductive process. That is actually just memorization and then matching something you've said with something that's been stored. And it's something you can easily do by writing a little computer program to do it. Now,
well, I mean, the doctors are nothing more than salesmen, sales representative agents for pharmaceutical companies. I mean, you go in there and you tell me how many times you go in there and they basically start writing out a script. And it doesn't matter what you've got, it will be solved with a script. So if you're suffering from depression, which is a very normal, natural reaction at some stage in your life, when you're coming to grips with things that aren't going right or who you are or whatever, I mean, it's a natural part of maturing and growing up. And, of course, their reaction, of course, is to stick you on antidepressants, as if fluoride in the water wasn't enough. Which is essentially an antidepressant, because I believe 95% of Prozac is sodium fluoride. But, the doctors aren't good at solving things. They'll put a vaccine into you that they don't really know is good or indifferent or very harmful for you, because they've just got full belief in the authoritarian system that programmed them. And I find the same thing with engineers that have gone through the full induction process are very poor at deducting and resolving problems themselves. They're not good, clear, independent thinkers. They basically have blind faith in the system, which they've been habitually trained to do all their lives, and particularly when they go into university. They've been told to habitually believe what they've been told and to memorize answers to questions that they've been given. And they spend the rest of their life regurgitating the stuff that they've parroted and absorbed back to other people. And that's, I think that's sad, because the engineers that I've got out of university, I don't classify myself as an engineer. I spent most of my life in sales and marketing, although I did have a technical background before I started. And I have solved probably 95% of the very complex technical issues that have confronted my organization, even though I'm an unwilling technical person. And it's mainly because I have a better methodology for logical reasoning and analysis than they do. And that's, I guess, when I started to discover that most people don't have very good processes of deduction. If you go and talk about the moon or any of these things, 9/11, fluoride in the water, most people aren't very good at deducing things. They just have blind faith in the system and can't possibly believe that the system would lie to them.
And yet the inability,
their basic defense.
If I can just interject there, the inability to use the deductive reasoning that is a very important part of our brain function, the inability to use that is incredibly crippling for people. I mean, I really can't overemphasize how serious it is when people do not have activated or never have developed the ability to think and problem solve for themselves. It creates a very, very alarming scenario, I believe, in society. What we're seeing now play out. We're seeing, I believe, a decay of our civilization on quite a significant level. But I do believe that it is somewhat exaggerated and accentuated in the countries like Australia that have the most intensive programs of drugging their population through agents in the water supply, but through also automatic prescriptions by doctors. No matter what you come to the doctor with, they automatically give you a prescription of some kind. And the programming of people's thinking through constant bombardment of propaganda and television. And I'd like to get more into that after we return from the break. You are with Truth News Radio Australia. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. I hope you enjoy the show.
Getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Like the river I
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and my guest today is Damon Crowe. Now, I'm currently operating from Thailand, as I've mentioned before, and I should point out, actually, Damon has provided me with an excellent communication tool while I'm here, because Damon runs a communications company in Australia, and I've got a great little number that I can use to make local calls back within Australia, very, very simply. And are we actually allowed to promote your business on the show, Damon, or is that confidential?
I've always kept them independent, so it's probably a good idea to keep them separate, I think.
All right, well let it be known that that you have actually provided me with some nice little tools there, just for anyone who's curious. Now, one thing I've noticed, Damon, in Thailand, is that you know, the infrastructure and some of the engineering that's going on here is actually quite impressive. I mean, compared to Australia, and also when you compare the gross revenue that Australia earns as a country with just the massive income we get and the high living standard that we supposedly have, you would expect, would you not, that country like Thailand would, you know, be struggling to have a very good quality public transport system. And it's completely the opposite. I mean, the public transport system here in Thailand, admittedly, it is inadequate in the sense that it is not, it doesn't cover enough of the territory of a large city like Bangkok. But in the way it's designed, it is absolutely first class. I mean, it is quite an engineering achievement what has been done here with two forms of rapid transport, the overhead railway, which is called the SkyTrain, and the underground railway. And the SkyTrain is just, you know, quite an engineering accomplishment. They've built this right over the top of one of the densest cities, one of the most chaotic cities, and the sort of city you'd say, well, how are you ever going to put train lines through? Well, they decided to just go over the top of everything. And they work beautifully. They're incredibly efficient. They are very comfortable. They're very fast. And they're very, very cheap. But what I see in Australia, and this seems to be symptomatic of the decay of Western civilization, is the inability of the planners, you know, the people who actually are in charge of, say, you know, city planning, transport, corridors, all these things, to do anything right. I mean, I could go through a catalogue of absolute disasters from the cross-city tunnel, which was unneeded from the get-go because it didn't really address the main transport corridor problems. Some of the outer Sydney routes that force people to have one of these scanner cards in their car, and if you don't have a scanner card, you get fined some horrendous amount of money. No toll booths. The airport rail link, which is intrinsically a good idea. I mean, it was a good idea in itself, but because of the outrageous cost of using it, coupled with the fact that the trains that run on that airport rail link are some of the scrungiest, you know, dirtiest, filthiest trains that Sydney has, and yet they charge this exorbitant amount, this has caused the Sydney rail link to go bankrupt, and then it was bought out by
the
government.
We're the South Pacific Argentina.
Yeah.
We should be rich. We should be rolling in it, but they've bankrupted us.
But there's also,
if they've done us over intentionally, because we're stuck in a time warp. I mean, the majority of the trains running around in Sydney, particularly the ones that go up the Central Coast and so forth, are probably 50 years old on 50-year-old plus tracks.
They're very, very old, and they're very smelly, and they don't even. I discovered after doing a bit of research that they do not clean Sydney trains. I mean, that itself is staggering. I mean, and this includes the trains, Damon, that go out to the international airport. The trains that are bringing people in, arriving in Australia the first time, wouldn't you think that they'd even care a little bit about that, about the image that we project? They don't even care.
Well, they've got to pay for all that security. I mean, look at how much that security must cost. I mean, there's an insane amount of security. And these guys are toothless tigers. I mean, there's a little bit of ticket inspection, but not a hell of a lot. and just a bunch of fat, overweight, middle-class Australians that wouldn't get a job anywhere else, wandering around on these trains, sucking up enormous amount of money, when really the only people you really need to be putting there is some cleaners, people to manage the thing. And look, I'm not saying that you don't need a little bit of security, but if it's public transport, then the police should be providing that. You know, the transportation organisation doesn't need to be experts in security. That's what the police are for. But they're out there, you know, gathering, you know, revenue for the government in a whole bunch of fictitious, you know, car infringements and so forth. You know, like
exactly.
The whole thing.
The security apparatus is simply there to harass people and try to get fare evaders, and as you mentioned, also people who don't pay their parking tickets. Now, in Bangkok, by contrast, that doesn't exist. I mean, I've been using the trains constantly here. There is no presence of people checking tickets, busting people for not having tickets. That's, you know, the preponderance of what you see in Sydney. You see these gangs of the railway security police standing there, sometimes actually uniformed police as well. And quite often, Damon, I've seen this at Redfern, because I caught the train to Redfern many times. In the mornings, the police are there with their sniffer dogs. So the police are there at the train station, walking around, sniffing people up, and quite often they're doing random strip searches. I had this from a witness who told me that he saw a man strip search in broad daylight at Bondi Junction Station. Now, you're quite right. This preponderance of security is actually, that's where all the money's going, that's where all the effort's going. It's just a tin pot dictatorship. This is the sort of thing that we see in countries like Mexico or, you know, that is the classic Mickey Mouse dictatorship kind of scenario, where you have pot-bellied, puffed-up cops running around busting people. You know, that's it. That's the scenario that we're living within.
Well, New Zealand has got the highest levels, I think, of incarceration in the world, I think it's way higher than the US, and that's mainly because they're busting people for pot. You know, this is a completely natural wonder, flower, weed, whatever you want to call it, that's got medicinal purposes as well as, clothing and the textile and also building and all sorts of stuff can be done with hemp. It's one of the most amazing things of all time. Yet they're spending the whole time putting that away for, you know, it's so pathetic. I mean, the police system and the judicial system is just a mess, and it's not much better than the financial system, which of course is one of the first systems that's going to collapse. I think that the system is only meant to last till this era, and this era basically finishes in December. And I think in 2013, that's the number that they love. I think in say March, I'd say something like 13 of the third 13, or third of the third 13, 3313, because they love to demonise the number 13, the number of 28 day lunar months plus one perfect day to create a perfect solar year. We've been on this artificial Vatican inspired Julian calendar of 12 uneven months for the cycle, same cycle as the period of the belief system and the illusional financial system, the illusional medical system, the illusionary education system. And I think they're going to collapse the whole thing sometime next year. And the police, as we talk about, they've moved on from being the police force protecting the people to intimidating the people. The police are now to protect the state. They're not for the people's purpose. The police are there as enforcements, like they were in Nazi days, because the Nazis are now a manifestation of these people. So police are just nothing more than the brown shirts.
Yeah, and that's what happens as we move towards this pot-bellied, corrupt, graft-ridden dictatorship, which we've seen in many countries around the world. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
How low were you willing to go? selfish goals. Punchline after punchline, leaving us all, leaving us all.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Hereward Fenton, and you can find our show on the internet at truthnews.com.au. And, of course, we also broadcast on the Logos Radio Network. And if you're listening to us on the Logos Radio Network, please do check out our website, and you can subscribe to our podcast. And we have quite a lot of other articles on there, and quite often comments and other information. So you may find it worthwhile to check out the website. Now, Damon, you were expressing the opinion there that Western civilization is being taken over a cliff, and that that's, you know, going to happen over the next year or so. I'd just like to, well, throw a different perspective on that. I think that Asia is doing very well for itself. I mean, Australia is in a decline. I mean, we see a decline happening, especially emphasized by things like the carbon tax, which are designed to push us down. You know, they're designed to cripple us. We know that. But what I see in Asia is everything is booming here, mate. I mean, things are really looking up. And I mean, growth in Thailand was 5% last year. And China's growth has slowed a little bit. It's still, you know, By comparison to Western countries, it's just so way ahead. And I think really that also applies to India, the Philippines, Malaysia, Taiwan. You know, all of these countries are really in an upturn. You know, they're not in a down phase at all.
Well, so, they better get a new global currency to underpin them, or trade in another currency amongst themselves, or invent a new currency, because you've got a global system that has no backup.
Yeah.
So there's no gold underpinning the United States dollar, the US greenback, and there's nothing really underpinning the euro. And the US has been dead on the gurney since 2008 when it was declared dead. And a 24-hour emergency resuscitation process was required to bring any life back into it. And, of course, all we did is delay the inevitable. And, of course, the EU is already dead on the gurney as well now. And now they're both on artificial life support systems. So, and the true debt, you know, anybody thinks the US debt is $17 trillion probably needs to do a little more investigation and find out what the true toxic derivatives, share swap, casino royale debt of those economies are. I mean, people speculate up around $200, $300 trillion. I don't know. There's a lot of toxic crap in that system, and it's about to go down, which, by the way, was the underpinning premise of Killing Me Softly. You know, there was a card game that Brad Pitt was basically getting involved in, where the people who are running the card game, i.e. a criminal financial racket, because there's heaps of money floating around a table, he decides to collapse that card game. He decides to hold up his own card game, collect all the money, and collapse the very thing that he created, which is exactly what they did in 1930, right, by the Rothschilds and so forth. And then the subsequent plot is the people who pulled the heist, they get tracked down, and the guy that you know, who originally ran the card game, who made it collapse the first time, he gets labelled as the guy that's as the sort of the patsy for the second time it collapses. And anyway, you've got to watch the movie, because it's too hard for me to explain in a short period of time. But it's a very close approximation to what's happening in the globe today. Yeah. And look, I'm glad the Asia's doing well and India's doing well. The problem is when the US and the euro collapse, which is not a question of if but when, and that'll be a time of their choosing, no one's going to really be able to come through it unscathed. Now, I agree. I think you'd be better off living in the so-called third world type countries, because they're not so reliant on it and they're much more self-sufficient. And the more higher up the OECD you are, the more you're going to feel the pain, I think. So, you know, I agree in that sense, but there's no way out of this. Anybody who thinks that there's a way out of this is clearly delusional, in my opinion. There is no way out of this. This is going to go bang. because the debt that the artificial life support system, the equivalent of chemotherapy that they're treating the terminally ill cancer patient with, is going to kill the patient more than the cancer that they've got.
Yeah, the quantitative
easing.
The debt
that they're racking up on, I mean, the debt that the US are racking up, Australia's racked up $250 billion. And we're spending our time talking about, is Tony Abbott a misogynist or not? And, you know, or Peter Slipper, merry-go-round thing goes around again, you know, that pervert. Or the Craig Thompson thing goes around again. We don't talk about anything that's important. And we're about to walk off the edge of a cliff, and we're worried about those things. Now, if that isn't evidence of psychosis, I don't know what is. I mean, talk about an illusion.
Yes, indeed. It is incredible. I mean, this is real. You know, folks, we're not. You're not exaggerating. You're not trying to make this more than it is. I mean, you've had to come to grips with this, and a few years ago.
I didn't know. You know, quite frankly, it hasn't been an easy task.
Yeah.
Spending hundreds of hours, you know, spending 2 or 3 hours studying this every day. I don't know why I'm possessed to go and research all this stuff. But most people walk around blissfully ignorant. And the problem is they'll have their day. I'll cope with the collapse a lot better because I know it's coming. But when these delusional nutcases that are walking around in day-to-day life who are worried, I mean, I've got a next-door neighbour that paints OH&S yellow safety markers around his garage to park his car. I've got a guy that pulls, my bin's full and I put stuff in his bin, he pulls my stuff out of his bin and puts it on top of my bin. If I park my bin in a cul-de-sac in the curb and guttering or in the gutter at the front of his place, he moves it and puts it out in the cul-de-sac where he thinks my house extends to, even though we're in, you know, public property. I mean, there's a new movie out from Australia, which is a fantastic movie if anybody overseas wants to see it, called Mental. It's a bit like Muriel Wedding. I think it was made by the same people. Very, very good job. Great actors in it. Excellently done. That's about the suburban psychosis of the average suburban person, which quantifiably proves that the average person in suburbia is clinically psychotic.
Right. So this is an Australian movie?
Yeah, it's called Mental. It's got the same lady that starred in Muriel's Wedding, which I should know if I didn't have Alzheimer's.
Now, there's just a story here on my Twitter feed which would reinforce what you're saying. Switzerland is arming in preparation for a European meltdown. The Swiss army is preparing contingency plans for violent unrest across Europe. A nation mostly famous for its banks, watches and chocolate fears it may face a massive influx of European refugees in the near future. One of the world's richest nations openly expressed concerns over the possible outcome of Europe's continuing financial troubles and is currently conducting army exercises against the possibility of riots along its borders. Now, of course, Switzerland never did adopt the euro and has a very, very protective approach to its own society and economy, with everyone essentially being armed, everyone being prepared to defend Switzerland. And how do you think Switzerland's going to fare? And I mean, could we indeed see Switzerland as like an island in the midst of this chaos?
I don't know about that area. All I can tell you is the fruitcakes behind the EU have certainly got an agenda, and that's to hold that thing together as delicately poised as it is. I mean, how do you go from Ireland coming out of the 90s and the dot-com boom as one of the Celtic Tiger? How does that go from there to being, you know, one of the pigs?
Yeah.
It's a shocking term, I know, and I don't mean to be derogatory.
It's a basket case.
Because I love all those countries, and I think they're beautiful, sovereign countries, and I think it's an absolute crime what's been done to them, but you know what I mean.
Indeed. Indeed. But, I mean, we saw this part of the world, Thailand, was driven into that in about mid-1990s, 1997, I believe it was, and I believe it was done by one George Soros. He took the credit for it, of creating the Asian crash of 97. And the tiger economies of Southeast Asia collapsed at that point due to a currency fiddling. I believe it was done quite in quite a deliberate, quite an evil way. It's amazing how George Soros has sort of brushed himself off and come across as this wonderful philanthropist now when he has such a history of really quite criminal behaviour.
He's an absolute known fruitcake, and
yeah.
If you haven't got to that situation, then you really need to catch up a little bit. But yeah, if you think that this financial system is guided independently of the powers to be, like actually a friend of the family, a smart guy, one of these smart dumb guys, works in the US from Australia, travels from there all the time. He believes that the Federal Reserve is a completely independent body, nothing corrupt, completely above board, and that I'm mental. And to him, this whole thing's going to come as an awful shock. But, you know, there's people like me that have done an enormous amount of work and research, and they're trying to wake up the people that are under this illusion, under this spell that they've cast on the population. And they actually attack the people that are trying to wake them up, which is very pathetic.
Indeed, and that is part of the syndrome, isn't it? It's part of the psychological conditioning. Not only are you, if you're in this state, not only are you unable to think for yourself, you're somehow impelled to suppress other people's free thinking as well. It's an extraordinary combination. You're with Truth News Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to have your company today. We're just musing on the impending end of the universe as we know it. I don't believe it will be the end. I just believe that there will be a punctuation. Of course, you know, that's history. History is rise and fall, collapse, resurgence, decline, collapse. Whether this is all being engineered by puppet masters or whether it is in some way an expression of a process that we do not understand, I don't know. But it is coming. Something is coming. It's down there. We can feel it. It's like you can feel the waves. It's like, you know, there's a bushfire coming. You can feel those waves of heat. Or, you know, it's like there's a volcano about to erupt and you've got those rumblings. And you don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we all are pretty sure it's going to happen. I'd like to just cover a few stories about what's going on in terms of the hard edge of the military industrial complex and the takeover of the world by this rampant military machine, which is, you know, nominally the United States, but I really don't even believe that the United States is to be blamed, or we should say, well, the problem with the world is the United States. That again is a completely delusional way of actually looking at it, but one which is very easy to fall into. But let's just have a look at some of the latest news that we do have on that front. We have Secretary of State Hillary Clinton saying the buck stops here. Incredibly ballsy comment from an incredibly ballsy Secretary of State who has told CNN that she will take the blame for any shortcomings in the handling of an attack last month on the US mission in the Libyan city of Benghazi. I take responsibility, she said. And she added that with the US presidential election drawing near, I want to avoid any kind of political gotcha. So, of course, the event she's talking about was the murder of the U.S. ambassador and several other top aides from the U.S. embassy in Libya. And it turns out I've got a couple of articles here. One is from the Bangkok Post, in which it says, in the immediate aftermath of the death, U.S. administration officials said that it appeared to be linked to protests in the Muslim world against a film that was shot by U.S.-based activists, which was deemed to be insulting to the Islamic faith. But it has since emerged that the prime suspects in the attack, now seen as a deliberate assault, are Islamist militants with links to, you guessed it, Al-Qaeda. And this, coupled with recent reports we've had from Syria, where the Syrian rebels, I mean, this has actually been on video, this is documented, the Syrian rebels have said that they will not stop their revolution till they have planted the flag in Washington on top of the Capitol Hill. They've actually said that, you know, we're coming to get you. And these are the people that the U.S. is supporting. And again, they're the people who have all the hallmarks of the classic Al-Qaeda fanatics who want to destroy America. It's actually a bit mind-boggling. I mean, what is your take on that, Damon?
Oh, I don't know. It's all very obvious, isn't it? I mean, you know, at one stage, Al-Qaeda's on our side when we're fighting the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and then we're fighting against them after they pin 9/11 on them, and then they're on our side as we invade Gaddafi, who's one of them, but they've now decided to turn on him. I mean, I don't know. It's just I don't even bother even following it anymore, to be perfectly honest. It is so ridiculous. It is so totally insane. It really makes me wonder how anybody possibly believes in it.
Yes, I agree. It is actually really hard to take it seriously. It's like a cartoon, and yet the people who are the actors in this cartoon are immensely powerful. They are actually in charge of all of our infrastructure. You know, they're making key decisions that affect you and me every day.
And psychotic lunatics, demonic psychotic lunatics are running the game. As bizarre as that sounds, and if I said that to myself probably no more than 5 years ago, I would have thought I was mental. But in fact, that's where it all leads to. And I don't think there's anything we can do about it, because if anybody thinks you're going to wake up the masses before they pull this third and final act, you're kidding. The large majority of people are so induced into a hypnotic trance, a coma, that there is no chance of them waking up between now and then. I kind of believe that there was a possibility, but in recent experiences, I've found that people are fairly immovable. I mean, I would say, look, if you look at Australia, 30% of the population are hired and employed by local, state and federal government. And as a result, they vote Labor habitually, and they follow that government of persuasion like a football team. And I know anybody who's listening to this all around the world would have exactly the same scenario happening there. And then you've got the right-hand side and so forth. There's only a very, very small percentage of the population that is actually independent and doesn't believe pathologically in what their political party of persuasion is spewing out, and the percentage of them that have woken up is very small. You're probably only talking really wake people. There's probably half of 1%. That's a number that I've heard a couple of times. There's probably 20 or 30% of people that have a bit of an idea. There's probably 50% of people that have a sense that something's wrong, but not much more than that. But the large majority of people are unbelievably, you know, in a trance. They're operating at about 1% of their, you know, their mental capacity, I would think.
But, you know, Damon, there's been some studies, and I looked at this recently, that have suggested that you only need something like 5%. It is quite a small amount to actually induce complete change in human activity.
6%, I think it's 5. Anyway, somewhere between 5 and 10,
Yeah, somewhere between 5 and 10. And almost all major changes and revolutions have been actually triggered from that small group that then just reaches this turning point. And it's always a minority which turns the majority. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good blueprint, because typically what we see is this happens and then it just things don't get better. Although,
well, I think you probably need a 500% growth in where it is at the moment. I think you need 5 to 10 times the amount of people that are currently awake. And that's shades of grey. So there's a lot of people who say they're awake, probably including the self, who aren't really starting to, who don't even still completely figured out the complete magnitude of what we're up against here.
Well, yeah,
I mean, we're up against, it's much more than just, corrupt organisations, bad political people or naughty boys or the Rothschilds or the Vatican potentially or the Jesuits. It's much more than that.
But, if I can just mention, Damon, the psychological conditioning, and this is something I really want to get into more and more in this show, is that the psychological conditioning which affects all of us is so powerful and is so crippling in many cases that it is actually probably the most important thing to look at. And I'm continuously looking at it in myself to try and figure out how I can get out of the conditioned state I'm in. And I've tried, but I find it very, very difficult. And the psychological factors that are deeply programmed into me, and this is probably going back decades since I was a baby, and it's also been compounded by the food I've eaten and the drugs I've been given and the fluoride and everything, it actually has made me, I know, it's limited my ability to self-actualize, to get things done, to be effective. I know I'm nowhere near as effective as I could be.
We're all operating it at 1 or 2 or 3 or 4% capacity, right? Yeah. Once you realize that, then you can start healing yourself.
Yeah.
It's the complete, knuckleheads that think that they're operating at 95%. It's the ignorant and naive who think they're intelligent. They're the problem. And that is only possible by a completely malignant ego, an artificial construct of the mind that they have programmed and installed onto your operating system, your mind. And your true ego, which is the true spirit, your spirit is really the ego of the soul, if you like. Your true spirit is something quite different than your artificially constructed ego. Most people's artificial constructed ego, and we've all got one thanks to the system, is a cancerous, malignant thing that you could only possibly begin to heal yourself if and when you've got some sense of awareness. Everybody's capable of healing themselves, but it can't come externally. I can't heal them. I can't wake them up. Everybody has got a degree of programming. All of us have got some degree of programming, and the healing process only begins once you've figured out that you need to be disconnected from the program. You've got to unconnect, like a tangled bunch of fishing line, all those connected synapses of malignant personalities and ego that have been a construct of the mind, which is completely artificial.
Do you believe that there is a spiritual reality, Damon? I mean, I know you're not a religious person.
That's exactly what's going on. If anybody looks up at the stars and doesn't think that we're connected to a grander design, and the people we're up against know this. That's why that they've protected a lot of these great knowledge. I'd love to be part of the Freemasons, quite frankly. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of the Freemasons? I'm sure there's some very intelligent and great leaders in the past that knew about all this mysticism and occultism and which is only means hidden anyway. And it is the meaning of the universe. It is an encoded enigma, and if you can encode the riddle, you have got the meaning of life. I mean, who we are and where we came from, are they not the key questions?
Indeed. Look, we'll probably have to wind it up there, Damon. Very interesting perspective you bring on all this. And I'm glad to hear that you understand that there is this greater mystery. And this is something that I'm here to look into. I think that's what we're here for. That's why we're alive, to understand it. With Truth News Radio Australia, we'll be right back after the break with Hour 2. Please stay with us.